Hello everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Road to Transhumanism show. I'm your host, Elio Jerej, and this podcast's main objective is to inform the public about the technologies that will most probably impact the future of human evolution. Today's guest is my friend, Maroun Haykal, who joins us today to discuss the religious aspect of transhumanism. Hey Maroun, what's up?
Hello Elio. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm really glad to join you. Let me say, I really like the idea of the show. It's unique, and you know, few people know about transhumanism. So yeah, it's a great way to reach out and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Maroun. I appreciate it. And I'm very happy to have you here too. And Maroun, can you please briefly introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, sure. My name is Maroun Haykal. I graduated 2 years ago from the Lebanese American University with a BS in business management. And currently I am a project intern at Chemonics International. And let me say, I am a committed Christian in several movements for over 7 years now. Such as the Mariel Apostolic Movement and the Maronite Scout Movement.
Amazing.
And I also play chess.
Great. So before we kick off, Maroun, let me define transhumanism for the people who are tuning in for the first time to avoid the confusion. So for me, transhumanism, in a nutshell, is the use of technology to give humans the choice of transcending beyond their biological limitations. Now, Maroun, when it comes to modern Christianity, you are the reference for sure. And I know that you've reflected on the topic of transhumanism for a good while. So my first question to you will be a typical one. What's the general Christian perspective towards the merger between technology and biology when it comes to human evolution?
Yeah, okay. So first, I would like to define transhumanism for those who don't know. It is a philosophical movement dedicated for the super enhancement of human intellect and physiology. Now, the definition by itself is somehow vague and can be understood under many umbrellas. Now, that being said, Christianity in general does not oppose achieving human longevity, meaning extending human life expectancy.
And let me interrupt you here.
Yes.
I will ask you at the end of the podcast about super longevity for sure. So be prepared.
Yeah. Great. No worries. Yes. So Christianity does not oppose achieving human longevity. Does not oppose expanding human capability or even overcoming medical obstacles through technology. Instead, the ethics of how these goals are achieved may come into question. So now I would like to give you two different sides or two standpoints.
Yes,
regarding regarding transhumanism in terms of perfection and salvation. Which are the historical Christian teaching and the Christian transhumanism. So I'm going to start with the historical Christian teaching. So the church, the church teaches that mankind is flawed at the spiritual level, and that our sin nature is wrapped up in our spiritual DNA. Therefore, salvation by itself, which lifts people up from sin, the way of death, and brings us back to the way of life first in the spiritual and then in the physical, salvation is central to the Christian message. So God wants us to know Him, to build a relation between humans and God Himself. And Christ is the Word. He is the author of life and love. And mankind is created in God's image. And this absolutely does not mean that humans are equal to God. because a limited created being cannot equal an unlimited creator, but rather this speaks to mankind's role as representative of God's qualitative attributes like love and righteousness, and as a special creation having an eternal soul, a spiritual dimension. But in order for love to exist, a choice is required, because love without a choice is a bondage. And when humans made our choice of breaking this relationship, we now pursue our own destiny to become God or godlike. So death needed to be overcome, and Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago to reestablish this relation between the Creator and the creation, and willingly died on the cross and resurrected, and now Jesus is alive. And the choice here is to believe that Jesus Christ, so long, provides salvation, immortality, and perfection. And this Amazing. Is the, yeah, so th- this is the side of historical Christian doctrine now and teachings. So now I'm going to speak about the second side, which is Christian transhumanism. And this is a very broad subject. So what I want to do here is to point out a few examples, and the audience will see how the contrast comes into play.
That would be so, perfect.
Okay. So the concept of Christian transhumanism is not new, as many may think. An example
yes,
might
indeed.
Be... Yeah. So there's Saint Simon, the father of sociology. In the 19th century, he spoke about a new Christianity led by men of science and men of industry, and that this new Christianity was to be a rejection of the salvation dilemma, which we spoke about earlier, regarding the spiritual salvation and not
yes,
the physical
yes.
one. So another example would be the Orthodox Russian and cosmist Nikolai Fedorov. Now, I don't know if you heard about Russian cosmism.
Yes, I've actually heard of this movement.
Yes, it is a philosophical movement. Anyone can search about it on Google. So Fedorov is one of the fathers of modernist transhumanism. He said that science would provide the path for immortality, that science and the works of our hands through technology would provide the salvation of mankind. And more recently, there's James Lettford, who incorporates a technological justification into the idea of Christian salvation. And there's a Christianity platform called the Christian Transhumanism Association.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about this, so please go on.
Yeah, sure. So it emerged putting social evolution into the Christian salvation message. And we will now see the difference between the two sides. While historical Christianity recognizes that salvation, immortality, perfection comes through Jesus Christ alone, Christian transhumanism, on the other side, is saying Jesus Christ plus science plus technology plus obligations plus. And that is the difference. So here is the criticism. Christian transhumanism commits the same mistake that Adam and Eve committed. God, in essence, you are not sufficient for us, and we can save ourselves by our own power. Whereas the historical Christian position puts faith in Christ alone. So it recognizes that in due time, Jesus will complete what he promised, and that is bring us back into a right relationship with him. And some Christians are really confused between the two approaches. But at the end, it is a matter of choice. Now, if we go to the Vatican, to Pope Francis, this amazing Pope,
he's saying, I believe he's the smartest Pope ever to ever come to the Church.
I totally agree. He is saying the Catholic Church sees the technology as an instrument that is very powerful, which can be used for good or evil. And we do not need to make society efficient. What we need is to make it human. So yes, the Catholic Church has no objection towards technological evolution. Instead, it is the ethics of using it that concerns us Christians, as I said before.
That's fascinating. Oh, yeah. And going back to the Christian Transhumanist Association, which I wanted to talk about. So this association was founded by Mika Redding a few years ago. And this community believes in a sort of accordance between, like you mentioned, the leading edges of scientific and technological breakthroughs and the broad world of people with faith. So these people think that the use of technology coupled with Jesus Christ will empower us to become more humans, as he mentioned, renewing creation. Yeah. So Marwan, being yourself a member of various Christian micro communities and coming from a strong scientific background, what's your personal intake on Redding's foundation, and how important do you think it is to inform believers about the inevitable transhumanist revolution, and especially here that most people today are labeling transhumanism, let's say, as a diabolic philosophy?
First, let me say that it's a very good question.
Thank you.
Let me say first that the relationship between science and the church looks better now than ever before. There's a history behind it.
So can you please elaborate? Can you please elaborate a little bit on this?
Yes, of course. So, you know, the development of this relationship will have a significant impact on the public's understanding of and engagement with science. But the dilemma will be to define what is ethical and what is not, and how science is truly helping us to know the truth while regaining our humanity, which we lost long ago because of evil, because of sin. And clearly the Christian Transhumanist Association has nothing to do with the Catholic Church, because there are aspects of transhumanism that may find fundamental rejection when confronted to church doctrine, particularly in what concerns human dignity, which explains the Catholic Church unfriendliness to transhumanism, if we might say.
Exactly.
But as an association, it started in 2013 with interesting topics and has a blog. Their vision is to combine faith with science for a better future. So now, honestly, I don't know what their intentions are, but it's nothing more than a discussion platform, and anyone can join, listen, and interact.
I see.
So, yeah, it's helping in informing Christians about transhumanism, and then it's up to them, to the person listening, to know where they stand from this topic. I personally suggest not to judge anything before doing some research.
Yeah, I fully agree with what you just said, and that's amazing. So Marwan, with this, I think we can move to the thing I wanted to ask you from the beginning, and it's the trickiest topic, I think, when it comes to the transhumanist movement, which is super longevity.
As the term
suggests, super longevity is the state of living far beyond the current average human lifespan, and potentially forever. It's very well known as being one of the fundamental yet most controversial pillars of transhumanism. And if you recall, Marwan, my latest article about immortality,
I loved it.
Thank you. So you notice me mentioning that despite being very probable, immortality should always be a choice. And for me personally, it is greedy to live on Earth in our bodies and forever.
Exactly.
So either through CRISPR, medical nanotechnology, stem cells, or even bionic prosthesis, the maximum lifespan of Homo sapiens is sure, and it's sure to increase beyond, let's say, 100. However, I would like to know your personal perspective and also from a religious viewpoint on this tricky concept of super longevity.
Sure, yes. First, I'm going to define super longevity for those who don't know. It is extending the human lifespan to whatever number you want to be, any number. Like you said, more than 100. So 200, 300, and then what? So reaching immortality, to the extent of reaching immortality. And we humans have a hard time accepting this concept of living, of death. Thinking we don't exist anymore, or we're not going to exist anymore. And it certainly frightens us. Everyone is free to do what he wants, but as we think deeper, every choice we make has an impact, not just on our lives, but also on the lives of others and then the generation to come. And by the way, statistically, it is really hard to be part of this world.
In what terms?
In terms of life. Or simply to exist in this universe.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Like being a tree or anything, you name it. So how about being a human? It is a miracle by itself. And then why wish to be immortal when you are already eternal in this world and in the afterlife? And I really like this topic because... it's really, really fascinating. You know,
that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, you know, we are composed of energy and consciousness. So your energy, aka your body or your atoms, when you die, they are still here on Earth. So technically, you are not, you didn't vanish. You are not dead. In the technical term, and your consciousness.
Yeah, I see what you're pointing at.
Yeah, your consciousness is going back to the big consciousness that is holding the universe together. And
you mean God?
Yeah, I call it God. So I would like to give an example regarding.
Please do.
From the Bible, you know, Jesus was healing people. But he didn't want to heal their bodies as much as he wanted to heal their soul and the heart. He was always telling them, your faith saved you. So so not to mention that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Did anything change back then? What were the people witnessing this? What were they thinking about? You know, Jesus knew we were going to reach this stage, and he is saying, your faith in me, Jesus Christ, I mean, your faith in Jesus Christ will save you, and not your superpowers. And now we have. A millennial blessed called Carlo Acutis. This teenager, he is awesome. You can check him out.
I will definitely do, because I didn't know about him.
Sure. He is a great example. He used technology as social media back then,
Okay.
and he used the social media to worship God and letting everyone know him. So now we should take him as an example in what we are speaking about today. We should use AI and CRISPR and transplantation, you name it, to serve God and not letting it control us. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for this example. I fully agree with you. And Marwan, thanks a lot also for taking part of this podcast. Do you have any final thought or recommendation you would like to share?
First, I would like to thank you again for letting me join you.
I'm very happy to have you here.
I want to say to whoever is listening, you are unique. You have a purpose for your life, and Jesus loves you no matter what you did and no matter what you will do. So God bless you all. And thank you, Elio. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Marwan. And for everyone listening too, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platforms, including Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more to come. I'll talk to you in the next one. Stay safe.